the church at Sardis says this: "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments." Of course, we went over that this morning. We went over this whole verse. And then what we're going to be looking at tonight is this last phrase, this last verse: "And they shall walk with me in white." And what is the last phrase? "For they are" what? "Worthy." What he's saying there is really what they actually do, their conduct, their practice is manifesting their position. In other words, what they're doing is they are living, in essence, what Christ is saying, this remnant is living like I lived on the earth, like I am, after my very character. And so we see this phrase where it says there, "And they shall walk with me," a walk with the Lord. Well, I mean, we mentioned this morning that the first time we see in the Bible about walking with God is when we hear about Enoch in Genesis 5, 22 and 24, where he walked with God and God took him. Jesus, of course, walked with God his Father, for he is God. He only did those things that pleased the Father, he tells us in John chapter 8, I believe verse 29. So in order for you to be worthy to walk with God, you need to walk like God. We're going to look at that verse there in 1 John 2:6 later. And it's because we're going to have all of the authority. Where's our authority? Scripture, isn't it? So our authority is in Scripture, who is written by the inspiration of God as he breathed it. And so I must walk worthy of the Lord to please him in all aspects, fully pleasing him. Colossians 1:10 says this: "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing," or fully pleasing him. In other words, he's saying, you'll walk worthy if you fully please me. How do we please God? Well, we can go through many passages of Scripture of how we please God. But one of those ways, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to" what? "Please God." So we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that we look at this, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, we might please him. The Heavenly Father only did those things that pleased the Father. So if the Heavenly Father only did those things that pleased the Father, and we are to be worthy, what should we be doing? Only those things that what? Please the Father. All right? So this evening, we're going to just take two aspects of this truth, of the privilege of walking with God that is worthy. And that is, first of all, we're just going to again review and look at the meaning of the worthy walk. And number two, we're going to then look at the manifestation of that walk that is worthy. Before, I've had a PowerPoint, we've gone through probably 10 or I don't know how many of them, in Scripture that says this is what how we're to walk. Walk in humility, walk in difference, and walk in separation, and walk circumspectly. And we're going to be looking. We've already looked at all of those at times past. I just want to take you to some truths here, first of all, and we'll look at that manifestation of that walk that is worthy. And in that alone, we'll look at the sufficiency of our walking worthy, and then the snapshot of the believer's worthy walk. But let's look, first of all, and just review ourselves to get the foundation of what the meaning of the worthy walk is. So what does it mean to be worthy, first of all? That word worthy that we see in Revelation 3:5 and other places that we are using that we see this evening. The adjective form means having the weight of weighing as much as another thing. That's found in Weiss word studies. It is the root meaning of balancing the scales. In other words, when you balance a scale, what weight is on one side is the same weight that's what? On the other side. It doesn't say one's bigger than the other. It says this word worthy has the idea and the root meaning of balancing the scales. What's on one side is the same weight as on the other side. So what's on one side of the scale will be equal to the weight that's on the other side. So by extension of that, the word became to be applied to anything that was expected to correspond to something else. Anything, when you use that word worthy, would be expected to correspond to something else, it'd be the same, be duplicated. And so we then have to come to and understand that a person worthy, the example of that would be a person worthy of his pay was one whose day's work corresponded to his day's wages. You work, do this job for this amount, then you do that. You understand, that's what the word mean. I want to get the thorough meaning of that word worthy. So what does it mean then to walk worthy? Walk, as we see in Scripture, many times is to talk about conduct, behavior. In fact, the Christian life you live, in other words, weighs as much as the profession of your Christianity and you make. The first thing we learn to do is walk, isn't it? Walk is really making progress, going forward. And so we see that the Christian life weighs at the profession of the Christianity that you make. Well, in other words, it's this, as one man, as Kenneth Weiss said in his word study, you are to see to it that your practice, that you practice what you preach, that your experience measures up to your standing in grace. You see what that's saying? Well, the other ideas is this. The believer who walks in a manner worthy of the calling which he's been called is one whose daily living corresponds to his high position as a child of God and a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, his practical living matches his spiritual position. In other words, let your practice match your position. Walk in accord for who you are. Well, who are you? Do you claim to be in Christ? That's how you walk. That's being worthy. If you walk like Christ, you're worthy. Now, we don't feel very worthy, do we? But because of Christ, we can walk worthy. We see that here in Revelation. He says they are worthy. This remnant, they were faithful. The other parts of the church, they weren't. And so they're going to walk with me. I'm going to dress them in white. And because they're worthy. They're living like me. What does that look like? You see, to walk worthy is to order one's behavior that must weigh as much as the character of God. That's why we need to look at the character of God and who he is. And it will show us very simply about our life and how we're to go about so that we might be worthy in the eyes of God. So as we look at the manifestation of that walk that is worthy, we're going to look this evening at two aspects of that, and that is the sufficiency of our walking worthy and the snapshot of the believer's worthy walk. And so as we look at it, we first of all must realize the possibility of that walk. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Now, be with me. Let's be awake. Be with me. "And what agreement," 2 Corinthians 6:16, "what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said." Okay, when he says we're a temple of the living God, there's quite a few inferences there. What is the first inference? That we are who? Go ahead, you can say it. You're saved. Okay, we're in God. We're saved. And it says, so you are the temple of the living God. And then it says, as God has said. And he says three things. I will dwell in them. So when you're saved, we know by other passages of Scripture where the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. It says, I will dwell in them, and I will, what's the next one? Did anyone turn to 2 Corinthians 6:16? I'll walk in him. Okay, I'll behave in him. I'll conduct in him. I'll be the conductor in his life. In other words, there's a lot of power there, isn't it? He not only dwells within us, God himself, through the Spirit of God, but he walks in us. And when that happens, the role is he will be our God and they'll be my people. So in that verse, what it's really saying two things, what, isn't it? It's saying God dwells in the believer. Number two, God walks in the believer. So Christ will walk in you. So we need to stay in step with Christ, who is in you, which makes it possible for you to walk worthy unto all pleasing. In other words, simply pattern your life after Christ. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, all right, simply, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here we see the parallel again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He walks in you. So to be worthy, you need to walk in him because you're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We should erupt with thanksgiving and praise all week long and every moment because of that salvation that God dwells within us. So the possibility is great, isn't it, in our lives? And so as we look at its provision, why don't you turn, first of all, to Philippians chapter 2. Familiar portion of Scripture again, but I want to give a foundation. Then I want to show you some things that there's a comparison here and what we need to be doing, to put it in a nutshell, how we really walk worthy of the Lord. Of course, we need to find out, of course, simply. By the way, this is not rocket scientists. We're going to come a complete circle that, why didn't you say that in the first place? We could have left earlier. So look with me at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, that word obeyed means placing yourself under what is heard, under acoustics, literally. So wherefore, ye beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he then commands, and he says, work out. The word work out there means to carry it to its conclusion. Apply what has been given continually. What has God given you? We've already seen that we are in Christ, that he walks in us. We're to walk in him. So we must apply that continually in our lives. And so we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Look, verse 13. And then it says, for it is God which worketh or energizes you both to will or desire and to do your ability of his good pleasure. So of this worthy walk, what part is this? Let me just ask you this. There's a God part and there's a man part. I'll make it easy. What is this? The man part. Our responsibility. We are to work out, bring it to its conclusion, the truths and everything that we have. He'll energize us, give us the ability. He's given us the ability to do it. We're to work out our own salvation, and we're to do it reverently with fear and trembling because of who he is. And he says, for it's God which will work in us to will and do of his good pleasure. Remember where we started in Colossians? Unto pleasing God. Walking worthy unto pleasing God. It's not amazing, but do you see how the Word of God parallels itself all the way through Scripture? Just the meaning of glory is acting like God. And so we see that opinion that we must form of him. And so now, I know you know the verse, but let's look at it. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We see a command here in verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And what I want us to do is parallel this and connect this with Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Okay? We see its provision. Galatians 5:16. Did I say 5:6? 5:16 if I said 5:6. It's 5:16. This I say then, walk, and you could put in your Bible what I put in my Bible, and some translations might already have it, but by means of. Mine says, walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the humanness, or the unredeemed, part of you. This I will say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You want to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh? Then walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, since we are in Him and He walks in us, the Spirit of God is in us, if we walk in the Spirit, we would be walking what way? Worthily. We would have a worthy walk if we walk in the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit is whose walk? Well, we see that the walk is our effort. By the Spirit is God's work. Notice in Philippians it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 13 it says what? For God will energize us with the ability He's given us to desire and do that. So He simply says here, for you to, in essence, for our purpose this evening, for you to have a worthy walk, for you and I to be worthy, we must walk in the Spirit, our effort, our responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but we do it by means of the Spirit of God that's in us, because He's walking in us. And so we walk. So as we think of this walking in the Spirit, in order for us to be worthy and live the worthy walk, we need to be filled with the Spirit. This passage of Scripture here in Galatians 5, of course, we could take and go down that. We're always fighting the flesh and the Spirit, but we walk by means of the Spirit. We see the fruit of the Spirit later on in this. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, another familiar portion of Scripture. And I want us to look in Ephesians chapter 5 and look with me at first at verse 18. And what we will see here is the command of the Spirit's filling in our life. And then in chapters 5, in verses 19 of chapter 5 through chapter 6 and verse 9, this will give us the results of being filled by the Spirit, of being controlled by the Spirit. In other words, if you and I are walking the Spirit, walking worthily, these things will be evidenced in our lives. So look with me at verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast. Don't be uncontrolled by the things of the world, by alcohol, of which can control you and controls everything about you. Don't be drunk with wine in excess. Example, contrast, but be controlled by the Spirit. By the way, does the Spirit of God indwell in you? So can you be controlled by the Spirit? Yes. Because He says you walk in the Spirit. By means of the Spirit, you have the nine graces of the fruit of the Spirit at salvation, and many other more as we would look through Scripture. So in other words, here's the command. You and I are to be filled and controlled by the Spirit. The old man, when someone says something to you, you want to jump back at that person. And it's very easy to jump back at that person and say whatever comes in your mind. The new man that walks in the Spirit is controlled by that and doesn't do the same as the old man does or as the flesh does. I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm saying we now have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And if you are filled with the Spirit, you're being controlled, you're being obedient to the Spirit, you won't. You say, well, why do I do that then? Well, you're not controlled by the Spirit. And we're going to take a roundabout circle here, and you'll find out how we can do that, how that will help us, how we can do that. Of course, our mind has to be on the Spirit of God and on God. And so here we see the evidence of being controlled by the Spirit. Look at verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this do? It says being filled with the Spirit. Here's the first evidence. Our being controlled by the Spirit of God will be evidenced by your relationship with God. It all has to do with relationships. All of these have to do with our relationships of life. So if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're being worthy of God, and you're controlled by that Spirit, it will be evidenced by your relationship with God. That relationship with God that you have with Him, that you spend time with Him in prayer and Bible study, how much you desire to come and hear the preaching of God's Word. Or is it just, I just need it a Sunday morning, or that is fine, or this or that. How much do you really? It will be evidenced by your relationship, your thanksgiving, your singing, your praising. Your relationship with God will be evidenced by whether you're walking worthy. Go with me then in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So if you're being controlled by the Spirit and you're walking by means of the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit of God, that will be evidenced by your relationship with who? You tell me. It's right there. Submitting yourselves, what? One to another. So your relationship with who? Others. So how's your relationship with others? It will be evidenced by your relationship with others. As you submit yourself, as you rank yourself under, humble yourself in those relationships. Number three, look at verses 22 through 33. And this is not going to be a marriage seminar here. So I just will take it as a whole, this whole pair of verses 22 through 23. What does this talk about? Look what it says, starts in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is submissive unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, but that should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one, you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So if you're Spirit-filled, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? Your spouse. So how is it with your spouse? It will be evidenced whether you're walking in the Spirit. I got news for you. We don't all, even those that we might strive to have a good relationship, we don't always walk in the Spirit because we respond selfishly. I love my wife to pieces. She's great. And I don't get it why at times I would respond negatively to her. Why would I do that? When I do that, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not worthy of God at that moment. I'm not on the one side doing what is on the other side. And so I must have a proper relationship with my spouse. I must have a proper relationship with God. I must have a proper relationship with others. And then look with me fourthly in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Remember, this is all under the subject of being filled with the Spirit. I'm not making this up. And we now see the context of verses 1 through 4 in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So if you're walking the Spirit, you're worthy of the Lord, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? Or we could say family, our children, or we could say our family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We must admonish them, not provoking them to anger. It's a relationship between mother and father and children, and vice versa. It goes both ways. Your children are not walking in the Spirit if they don't have a right relationship with you. They're not worthy of God at that point when they're not have a right relationship with you. And the same with you when you don't have a right relationship with your children. Folks, it is natural for you to love your children. Did you know that? It's natural for your children to love you. I don't know if it's natural for grandchildren to love their grandparents. I don't know. I would hope so and think so. But here, walking worthy of the Lord is evidenced by a relationship not only with God, with others, with our spouse, but with our family relationships. And then look at verses 5 through 8 of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good anything any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So if you are walking in the Spirit, if you're worthy of God, it's not only evidenced by your relationship with God, others, your spouse, your family, but also in relationship with who? Your employer. My relationship with you. In essence, you're my employer. My wife's relationship with her boss will be evidenced by that relationship. Whether I'm controlled by the Spirit, whether I'm worthy of God, whether I'm walking worthily. Because God would only submit, would only have the right relationship because of his very character. And then lastly, in verse 9, the sixth evidence that God gives us here in this passage. Look at verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So what is that evidence by? We're evidenced by our relationship with your what? Employee. Those that are under you. Isn't it neat how God just gives it plainly to us? You know, we say, how do I really walk in the Spirit? How am I walking worthily? Well, to have a right relationship with God. First of all, have one. Have a right relationship. These are the results of walking in the Spirit, by means of the Spirit. He walks in us. And we're going to see in just a second how it comes full circle and how we can make sure we do this. And so we see that we must, it's evidenced by those six things. Now that's where it says be filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Again, the Lord is so clear. If we will just put systematically and put Scripture together, we'll see what this worthy walk is. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, by the way, we started this by saying what? The sufficiency of our walking worthy is God's dwelling in the believer and God's walking in the believer. Now, we looked at the Spirit's filling, and now we look at the Word's dwelling, the Word of God, verse 16. And let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? We are to let the Word of God take up residence in our lives. Pitch a tent. Live there. what's to live there. Now, you know what the results of the word, how you can know whether the word's dwelling in you? Look at verses, the rest of verse 16 through chapter 4, verse 1. Guess what we're going to find out? Look at verse 16 and 17. Let the word dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to who? The Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What will you, knowing, being dwelling in the word, if you're really dwelling in the word of God, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? God. Look at the last part of verse 16. Where we admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace unto the hearts with our Lord. What is, if you're dwelling, if the word of God's dwelling in your heart and it's all about you, it's everything. What will be it evidenced by if you're really, if the word of God's dwelling in you? It'll be evidenced by your relationship with who? Others. Look, verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fit for the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. So if the word of God's dwelling in you, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? Your spouse. Look at verse 20 and 21. I don't know about you, but I get tickled pink about when I see this and I study this and I look at this. And see the parallelism and see how we just need to look at God's word. But look what it says in verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So if the word of God's dwelling in our hearts, in that wisdom, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? Your family. Look at verses 22 through 25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servants, men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. And it goes on down, all the other things, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward. Verse 25, but he doeth wrongs, shall receive for the wrong as he does. So if your heart is dwelling in the Lord, and your the word of God is dwelling in you, it will be evidenced by your relationship with your who? Your employer. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. If you're the word of God's dwelling in you, it will be evidenced by your relationship with who? Your employees. Wait a second. I know I get sometimers sometimes, but if I'm not mistaken, walking in the Spirit and dwelling, the Word of God dwelling in me, the results are the what? The same. You see where we've come full circle? How do I practically, the Spirit, by means of the Spirit, God's part, my part, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? How do I do that? Dwell in the Word of God. The Spirit's not going to lead you apart from the Word of God. Well, I just believe God wants me to do this. I've talked to so many people. I just believe the Lord's doing me. No, you're trying to blame the Lord for something that you're doing, and you know very well if you're saved, you're wrong. But at that time, you're not walking in the Spirit, and you're going to make wrong decisions, and I'm going to make wrong decisions. So what do I do? You see, whatever it means to be filled with the Spirit, the same as the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, the same results. God's Word must continue to control your thought pattern in order for you to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to have a worthy walk. You want to have the Lord say the same thing as they did to the remnant there at Sardis. They're worthy. Then you have the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You be controlled in your thought pattern through the Word of God so that you see things through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of man. There's only one way you can do that, and that's being saturated with His Word, from reading, from listening to others, from messages, and from everything around, from discipling one another, all of the things come together that we might walk worthy of the Lord. For 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that ye walk after his commandments. There it is, the word. How are you going to walk after his commandments if you don't have them dwelling in you? For this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. So when is the word of God enough or sufficient? I know it never can be enough, but when is it sufficient? Well, Proverbs 6:22 says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall walk in thee. In other words, when is it really dwelling in you? Well, when it guides you and you see, look through the eyes of God. When it guards you, know it's guarding you. When it greets you as you wake up. So we need to seize the opportunity for Christ by walking in his word. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, Ephesians 5:15. And Colossians 4:15 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, seizing the opportunity. I've used this illustration before, and probably as I begin doing it, those of you that have heard it before, oh yeah, I've heard that, but it bears repeating. I think it's a very important illustration that will sort of get us the idea. I trust the truth. And that is this. Suppose that a wealthy man were to come up to you and say to you that I'm going to give you $1,440, $1,440 a day to spend. How many would like that? Oh, come on. I would. I mean, come on. In fact, I figured it out. I'll be 66 this summer in a couple months. At 66 years of age, at that $1,440 a day, that would be $34,680,600. I think I might have been able to live on that all these years, especially by now. But here's a stipulation that he puts on you. He says, $1,440 I'll give you a day to spend, but you have to spend it. If you don't spend it in that day, you lose it. Now, how many of you, if you had $1,440, would only spend $10 tomorrow? If someone gave you $1,440 and said, you have to spend this, all of it today, you can't save it tomorrow. If you don't use it today, it's gone. In other words, you have to use it like the government. Okay, just something like that. Here it is. You've got to use it. How many of you would use $1,440? I'd try to go right to the penny because I'd lose it if I didn't. No one else is getting it. This man, out of the gracious of heart, says he's going to give me $1,440 a day. I need to spend it every day. But if I don't, I lose it. I wonder how I would spend it, how I would squander it. Would I invest it for eternity, or would I waste it, or would I buy just things for myself, or how would I do it? But now, let's take that and parallel that. Did you know that every day God gives you and I, guess what? Guess how many minutes he gives you a day? 1,440 minutes a day. And it doesn't carry over tomorrow. Tomorrow we don't have 1,500 out minutes. We only have 1,440 minutes tomorrow. And he's given that to you and to me. Redeeming the time. So what are you going to do with those hours? What are you going to do? I got news for you. Remember what I just said? I asked you the question, how many of you would spend that $1,440? And I wonder how we would spend it. Well, we have 1,440 minutes. How do you spend it? Case in point, dwell. The Word of God must dwell in us richly. We must be controlled and pattern our minds in order for us to walk by the Spirit of God. All these precious minutes are ours. And when life is over, there's going to be a counting of what we've done with that time. And so as we close this evening, let me just give you a quick, we won't be able to spend time with that because I wanted to show you the principle, the snapshot of the believer's worth. Turn to 1 John 2:6. The Bible says, "He that saith he abideth in him." Okay. He's saying what? Okay. You've made a profession. You're a possession of faith. You know Jesus Christ. You say that he abides in you. He lives in you. He walks in you. Then you ought yourself also to walk. And what's it say? Even as he walked. You see the balance now? Are you worthy? As he walked, I walk. There's the balance. Are you worthy? So, what's the practice of your faith? Your practice is you walk as he walked. Great, by grace ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. We all know that verse. But we need to know just as much the verse that says we are his what? Workmanship, we're his artwork, created in Christ Jesus unto using those 1,440 minutes unto his glory. Even when we work at our job place, we can use those minutes for his glory. Example, working hard in those minutes at work or not working hard at those minutes. There it is. Waste or glory. Our practice of our faith. The believer's got a personal obligation. Walking implies making progress, even as he walked. You see, we cannot claim to abide in him unless we behave like him. John 13:15, 1 John 2:29, 1 John 3:3-7. One man said, "He who declares his position is morally bound to act up to the declaration that he made." As Jesus lived while he was on the earth, so we must live in imitation of him. We can only do those things by setting our lives in harmony with his. And so the believer has a personal obedience. This marks the continual active life of the believer as long as he's still on the earth. You and I must walk the talk. Our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. So what is your walk saying about Christ? I know you might have thought, what's your walk saying about you? No. If we're worthy of God, what is your walk, our effort, walk by means of the Spirit, our effort, the energy, or God's effort, walking it, our effort, Jesus' effort, his energy. But it says, so we ask that simple question. So you walk, what is your walk saying not about you, but what is your walk saying about Christ? It should say the same thing that what? The Bible says about Christ that dwells in you. So what is your walk saying about Christ? Not what's it saying about you at this point. And there's other passages of Scripture you could say that. But here, to walk worthy, what is your walk saying about Christ? And some of that could be that, okay, boy, I want that. That person is, I can tell there's a change in that person. I want to walk like that person. Not because it's you, but because it's Christ. What drew you to Christ? Christ drew you to himself and his walk. And so, we see the pattern in our faith even as he walked. What was that? To be conformed to the image of God. God is redeeming a Christ-like race, and we must bear a family resemblance. Isn't that great? Don't worry, I didn't come up with that. I couldn't come up with something like that. But in that study, we must bear a family resemblance. Not only to be conformed to the image of God, he's doing that, but to be growing into the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Christian life is a continual process of growing in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, ascending from one level of glory to another. That's where we grow. So how are you different? How are you growing? How are you different this year than last year, a few months ago than now? Are you growing in the image of God? You see, as believers manifest the fruit of the Spirit, they're progressively being transformed into His likeness. Christ's likeness is the goal of our Christian walk. So to be conformed to the image of God, we must bear a family resemblance. To be growing in the image of God, and thirdly, to be living the ordained purpose of the image of Christ, and that is we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 2:10. So what was God's ordained purpose in our walk? So what we just need to do is find out how did Christ walk. So I want to challenge you. Go through the Gospels and find out how Jesus Christ walked. Read the Gospels. After, again, I know many of you might not be doing this, but after you read the Psalm a day, go through the Gospels. Find out how Jesus walked. Let me just share with you a few things. He had a personal time. Mark 1:35, Matthew 14:23, and John 17. He had a personal time with His Father. He did those things that always pleased God, so He looked at it through the eyes of God. John 8:29 and 14:31. He obeyed His parents and authority as He obeyed God rather than man. Luke 2:51 and Luke 20:25. He grew, Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, how did He grow? He grew intellectually. Are you growing intellectually? We need to strive to grow intellectually. We need to strive to grow physically, take care of ourselves. We need to grow spiritually and socially. Philippians 2:8, it says that He humbled Himself. So if we want to be balanced and look, have that worthiness, we need to humble ourselves. He resisted temptation, Matthew 4:1 through 10. So if we're going to be worthy, we need to what? Resist temptation. He was full of truth, John 1:14. So we need to be full of truth, of faithfulness. He was a servant, Matthew 20:28 and John 13. So what must we do? We must be servants to Him and to one another. And for our purposes this evening, lastly, He was faithful, John 17. So we must be what to be worthy of God? Faithful. You see, only as walking worthy of Christ can we abound in obedience to God and be as children imitate with their Father. For every Christian, habitually's question should be really, what will please God? So as one man said, let us remember, in fact, in closing, that a Christian walk of this character is to be secured not by observing times of prayer simply, nor by use of ordinances, nor by self-denials, but only by being kept filled with the thorough knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What does it say He's saying by that? We need to dwell in the Word of God and be saturated so that we might be worthy of Him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He'll shed on the way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will what? Trust and what? Obey. You see, the privilege of walking with God that is worthy is walking by means of the Spirit, which is the same as the Word of God dwelling in you richly. That's what's sufficient for you. That's what's manifested. And that snapshot is that of Jesus Christ Himself. For faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we let the Word of God take up residence and dwell in our hearts, that's our heartbeat. Our dear Heavenly Father, I